Hello, my beautiful people. Well, I am right now back on my desktop, which I haven't used in a hot second, and I was really getting frustrated with myself because I spent a lot of money on this computer and wasn't using it. So here we are, using it once again. I am at the moment doing my nails. It is Saturday, right around the time of 7:45. And my gel extensions have finally popped off, which I have been stressfully gnawing at them. Yes, it's a bad habit of mine. Let's not talk about it. But whenever I have extensions or acrylics of any kind, I have a tendency to like pop them off out of stress and anxiety while I'm working or concentrating. And that is exactly what happened today. I was concentrating on something, and the next thing I know, I have no nails. So I'm going to try and actually paint my own nails. I'm not very good at it. I actually am terrible at painting my own nails, which is why I go get them professionally done. However, your girl's broke right now, and I'll get into that in a second. So we're gonna do our nails at home. And low-key, they're looking better than they ever have before, so I'm pretty proud. Like, I can't even front. But let's get into it. First of all, I'd like to dedicate this episode to Jessica Hunter, because every time she sees me, she says, "Josephine, I'm waiting on my next podcast." Because the way I forget I have this fucking podcast, guys, like, I never remember that I actually have this podcast. And it'll be Tuesday, and I'll be like, shit, I didn't upload a podcast. Is that unfair to you guys? Probably. But it's my podcast, so haha. Anyways, I dedicate this episode to Jessica Hunter, and because she is definitely one of my biggest fans on this podcast, and she listens to my podcast on the way home from work. She works at Pottery Barn, so she actually just got a big promotion, so go Jess, shout out. But I am unsure of what I was going to talk about whenever I came in for this topic. But as I give you guys an update real fast, I'm going to lead into the topic. And as you can tell, I still am unsure of which one I want to choose, so that's why I'm going to give you the intro first. So, intro on life. Life has been absolutely fucking insane recently. I feel like I don't have the chance to eat, sleep, or breathe a majority of the time, and I'm truthfully not too terribly upset about it. I just finished a big project at work, and I turned around to finish another big project, and then now I have another big project. And my boss and I keep saying that at the end of this year, we'll be able to put our feet up. We said that last year too, and it didn't happen. So I really don't think it's going to happen, but I like to look on the brighter things of life. Hopefully it does. I do think that my podcast topic will probably lead from this story I'm about to tell you about probably the biggest thing that happened in the past couple of weeks. Because I am a person of, like, I'm not a money grabber. I've never really been a money grabber. I'm always like, I kind of do whatever I feel is best for me, and I hope that it brings me money, right? So I had someone approach me and ask me if I would be, in a sense, like a hiring manager for them. This whole job offer kind of hit me out of the blue. I wasn't prepared for it, and the person that was with me wasn't prepared for it, as that wasn't really what was expected in the original meeting. And we went on, and I ended up accepting the offer. I didn't accept the offer. I accepted the discovery call, in a sense, and kind of like learning more about what they were expecting from me as a hiring manager and all that kind of stuff. And I gave them my rate. And don't get me wrong, it was pricey. I will not front. It was pricey. But it was pricey because it's me. And at the end of the day, she was looking for somebody that is just like me. She wanted, you know, a very driven person. She wanted somebody that acts like me, talks like me, thinks like me, because my boss raves about me. That being said, the Colonel's recipe is not repeated, my dear. So finding someone that I trust and would be like willing to put my neck out for is a lot to ask from somebody. And not to mention, I would be doing this outside of my 9-to-5, and I would be, you know, actively trying to recruit. Not to mention, one of the positions I was recruiting for was actually outside of my industry. So with me not having a whole lot of expertise and having to, I'm going to have to obviously research, like, what is expected in this position, everything like that. Like, there was going to be a lot that I was going to have to do outside of just finding this person. And so I was like in the discovery call, told her my rate. And again, I am fully aware of how pricey it was. I am I'm not going to sit here and explain my price. I'm also not going to say that I didn't deserve what I asked for. And I asked multiple people after I'd given her the price. I was like, do you think I asked for too much? They're like, no, you asked for what you're worth. And I said, thank you. Solid. I thought I was being a little dramatic for a second. They were like, no, I think you are fine. Solid. Solid. That is what we love to hear. However, this whole episode is more than anything, like, not getting your hopes up. So, like, and it's not even not getting your hopes up in a negative way. Like, I, again, am a very positive human. So, I understood at the end of this call that she was solidifying the fact that we were going to work together. She's like, yes, okay, I'll have it to you by Tuesday. Okay, perfect. So excited. Can't wait. Was I stressed? Yes. Was I excited? Yes. Like, low-key, a girl in the... I just graduated college. I have a ton of fucking college debt. And I've been surviving on credit cards anytime I can't make ends meet. Of course I'm excited about anything that's going to bring a little bit of extra money. Because that's going to get rid of extra debts that I have. I'll be able to get that Chanel bag that I wanted to get. Or get that Dior bag. Or whatever it may be. And it not come out of my 9-to-5 budget. That being said, don't spend your money before you have it. Because I then went, and after I had understood that, you know, yeah, I solidified this deal, I got it, I went, I told everybody and their dog, I told my mans that I'm talking to, I told my mom, I told my grandma, I told everybody. Like, I was so excited I closed this deal. I had written a contract and sent it to her the day that we had talked. And in the contract, I said I would be working a minimum of 15 hours a week. Now, 15 hours a week doesn't sound like a whole lot. It sounds like a part-time gig, truthfully. Yes, it is a part-time gig. But in retrospect, which is something I did also explain to her, is I am trying to build my own brand as well. I have a bridal brand. I also have this podcast that I already forget exists. I have my own personal brand. And I am working a 9-to-5 where I'm trying to really help scale that brand and show my value at that company. So all that being said, this is just taking money away from me. Like, so in a sense, if you're going to take money away from me, then I expect money to be put into my pocket by you. So I gave her my rate. She was cool, whatever. She didn't sign the contract. And mind you, it was like a Wednesday that we had this conversation, and she hadn't signed the contract. Saturday rolls around, still no contract signed. I'm like, interesting. Okay, weird, but cool. And then Monday rolls around. Monday was a holiday, so obviously I'm not going to bother a single human on a holiday. That is not my place. I was off. You are off. I'm going to go sit by the pool. I hope you have a great time. You know what I mean? Like, it's a holiday. Enjoy your holiday. And, oh my God, I can't get this clear nail polish to open. Sorry, sidetrack. So, I, you know, didn't bother her until that Tuesday. I followed up with her. I was like, hey girl, hey. Just wanted to follow up. See what was going on. See how we're feeling. And, you know, see if you had any questions. Just want to make sure everything's vibing. And then I get that dreaded text message. The text message that nobody really wants to get. She says, honestly, Josephine, I don't know. I've been thinking about it and crunching the numbers, and it just seems like a lot. And it wasn't exactly like that, but for the sake of the story, that was the gist. So, at this point, I don't go into defensive mode, and I've really learned that I have a tendency to go in defensive mode, which is what the second half of this podcast is about. It's our, you know, reaction. Reaction versus response. I have a tendency to react. I'm very, very bad about reacting and not responding. It's a toxic trait of mine. I don't even want to say toxic. It's just a trait of mine. And I do think that it's from, like, I felt like I had to defend myself and my opinions a lot in my life. And so it's just forced me to be in a pretty much consistent defense mode. Like, consistent, don't make me fight your ass kind of vibe. And have I ever raised a fist? No. But I feel like my brain is always in that thought of defending myself. And even with, you know, my personal relationships, I know there are times that I'll go to defend myself whenever someone disagrees, and they're like, I'm not asking you to defend yourself. Truthfully, I'm just telling you I don't agree with what you're saying. Or it's like, it was the other day, I don't remember what was said in a conversation between me and someone, and they were like, I mean, honestly, Josephine, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you that I don't completely understand it. And I was like, oh, okay. But it's just like, in that moment, I really realized that I am just always down to just like fucking argue with people. I'm like, nah, man, this is why I'm right and this is why you're wrong. And in turn, obviously, that's not a healthy mechanism. But this is how my brain has forced me to think. And so I got the text message with her saying, you know, I don't know about it. I really don't, like, I don't want to pull down, I don't want to depreciate your value. However, I had a much smaller budget set to the side for this, so I'm unsure if I can do it, like, yada yada. It was like, it was a good little message, you know? And so I waited to respond. I came home, I talked it over with my mom. I was like, do you think I'm charging too much? Do you think I should pull it down? And after, you know, a conversation with her on what I should do, she was like, how much is it going to bring in? And I told her how much. And then she's like, and how much stress is it going to cause you? And I was like, I mean, I charged the amount because I thought it would cause me a lot of stress. And she goes, yes, but like, it will probably cause you more than that. Because let's be honest, you don't stop working your 9 to 5 at 5 like you're supposed to. You're working on it pretty consistently. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, and you have the bridal bell and you have your podcast and you're trying to make more, like, you're trying to also boost your followers so you can monetize your own Instagram. She's like, you're already doing a lot to try and make things happen. Are you sure you want to go and help somebody else make things happen? And you, at that point, don't feel like you're getting paid what you deserve to be paid because someone's budget isn't meeting. And she goes, it's not that you need to go to their budget. If they want you, then they need to value you and come to you. And I said, yeah, I get that. And she's like, I'm just saying, like, think about it. Obviously, if you need it, do it. But truthfully, you need to put yourself first in this situation and think about what you 4 months down the road is going to think. And I was like, okay. So after a little bit of thinking, I decided to cut the deal. Now, this is a big thing for me because I had already spent a good chunk of the money. I had spent almost $700, so I wasn't going to be able to make my rent. And I had already waited to make my rent because whatever was going to come in from her was going to pay the rest of my rent. And I wasn't worried about it. And I was going to pay off a credit card and, you know, all that stuff. So, mind you, then it comes down to like, okay, well, how am I going to pay this big-ass bill that I have every month? And obviously my 9 to 5 pays it, but I spent too much money these past few weeks and I can't afford to pay my rent now. So how am I going to do this? So there's this beautiful thing with Gusto. If you have Gusto, you've probably seen it before. You can cash out. You can cash out a certain amount of money. So I cashed out a portion of my next check. And then you can do this balance assist with Bank of America. And I got $500 from Bank of America. And that was the $700 I needed to make my rent happen. So I got my rent. I got about $30 extra spending money. And I'm expecting a check from a different person that I did some freelance work for. And that's the vibes. That's the move. But I say that whole story to say, like, obviously catch up on my life, but also there is a way, you can always make a way out of no way. And Kai would always say that whenever we were dating. He still tells me that now. He's like, making a way out of no way. Because we are resilient humans. Like, we really are. We're badass people. And we make a way out of no way so consistently that it's not even funny. But it's all because we choose to respond to things and not react to things. Reacting to things makes you feel in a panic. Makes you feel like you're in chaos. You sit there and you're just like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? How do I do this? I don't know what to do. What the hell am I gonna do? And in turn, you're just freaking yourself out. You're just literally psyching yourself out. So that leads me into the topic of the podcast, which is actually response versus reaction. And I'm going to bring up a few different scenarios where I have thought about reacting and have decided to respond. And I do think that this, I have started using this way of thinking in every single aspect of my life. And I mean every single aspect of my life. All the way from driving down the road, to sending emails at work, to conversations with, like, significant people in my life. I have chose to respond rather than react. And it's not a difficult process. It's just difficult to do whenever you're used to reacting. So let me take you through a very popular situation, I'm sure. And I was, Kai and I are talking again. So I'm just going to name drop him again. Kai and I are talking again. And he asked if I could take him to a car company so that way he could work on something on his car. I was like, yeah, sure. I can do it after work. So we met and he told me he'd feed me. So I was like, solid, Mickey D's for me. And so I go over to Soho House to pick him up after I get off of work. And I call him and he doesn't answer. So then I call him again and he doesn't answer. So then I text him, he doesn't answer. So then I call him again and he answers. He's like, hey, I see you, just give me a minute. I'm like, okay, cool. So I flip a little UE in the little alleyway area. And I see him at the valet stand with this girl. Mind you, Kai and I don't have a label at this moment. Truthfully, we're too busy for a label. A label will just cause unnecessary pressure. And so, Kai is at the valet stand with a girl. I don't know who this girl is. I don't know her from Adam. I do not know who this woman is. I don't know. My first reaction was becoming enraged. I was pissed. I was pissed. You ignored my calls to talk to another woman. What the fuck is wrong with you? I have learned that I have a very Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert mentality. And I just lose my shit. I'm not afraid to get mad. But I also want to make sure that I'm nurturing my relationships and understanding how I'm feeling before I blow up on somebody. That being said, Kai then gives her a hug before she gets in her car at the valet. And at this point, I am fuming. If you know me, you know I don't do well. Like, I wouldn't say territorial. Okay, I'm a little territorial. I don't do well whenever it's all that. Like, you can have friends, you can have best friends, whatever. If I don't know who they are, though, I'm not doing well. I need to at least know who they are so I know, like, your relationship with them, something. And it's in my insecurities. I will admit that it is in my insecurities. However, I had a very intense conversation with Kai about a week before about reassurance. I'm a person that needs reassurance. And my love language is words of affirmation. He is fully aware of this and he does his best to ensure that I am loved in that way specifically. And I mean, anytime I do anything for him, it's, I appreciate you, thank you, I adore you, I appreciate you. You know, it's those kind of things, and those mean a lot to me. And even today, he came over and he dropped something off before he went to go and hang out with a friend real fast. And he was like, I'll come and see you later, but I was going to drop this off real fast if that's cool. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And I went and I put it in its designated location. And he's like, thank you, I appreciate you. And like that little phrase alone means the world to me. So that being said, I had that conversation with him, a very intense conversation about, you know, I just need reassurance from you sometimes. I need to know that I'm the only girl right now that you're talking to. I need to know that you care about me, that you appreciate me. And it was a very intense conversation because he was like, Josephine, I appreciate you. There is no other woman in my life. I care about you. You mean a lot to me. I need you to get that through your head right now because I can't, you can't expect me to reassure you so consistently. And I'm like, totally get it. He's like, I will do my best to reassure you with my actions, with my words, with my day-to-day thoughts. He's like, I will ensure that I reassure you in other ways, but you cannot expect me to look at you every single day and be like, Josephine, you're the only person in my entire life. There is no one else. There is nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Like, he's like, that is just too much for you to ask of me to go through every single day for you. That is an emotional roller coaster. And I was like, I agree. That is completely unfair. And I understand. Thank you for expressing your feelings in this moment. And I will do better. And I know this is a problem that I have. Like, I'm fully aware of this. So whenever all of this is happening with this girl at Soho House, I am reminding myself that Kai cares about me. He appreciates me. He wouldn't use me. He's not that kind of person. He wouldn't abuse our relationship. He wouldn't do that. And I know that about him. Like, I could go to my grave saying that because I know that about him. However, whenever you're in one of those moments, I do feel like the animal instinct comes out and you're just pissed. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, somebody's touching what's mine. Like, not cool. And so it's harder to not get upset. So I'm sitting there trying to calm myself down. She gets in her car. He comes over to the car, opens the door, and he knows something's wrong as soon as he gets in. Because I didn't smile. I didn't say anything. Because currently I'm focusing on my fucking breathing. Like, I'm mad. And so he gets in the car. Door is wide open. He looks at me. He goes, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm fine. Please close the door. And I'm talking quietly. Whenever I'm talking quietly, he does know that something's wrong, especially whenever I'm first seeing him, because I'm a very energetic human. And so whenever I first see him, I'm like, oh my God, hi, how are you? How was your day? Like, I'm that person. So whenever he gets in and I'm over here like, please close the door, and I'm very quiet and well-spoken, he's like, what's wrong? So I completely understand where he's coming from. But also, this kind of made him feel like how I feel sometimes. Because he's kind of like, he's not hot and cold per se, but he's an omnivore. So whenever he goes introverted, I always feel like something's wrong, because he's also whenever he's an extrovert, he's a crazy extrovert. And whenever he's an introvert, he's a crazy introvert. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And his introvert, I have a hard time connecting with his introvert personality because I'm such an extrovert. And so it forces me to chill out a little bit, but I also like, I feel like he's mad at me. And it's not that he's mad at me, he's vibing out in his little bubble. So he was asking me, he's like, what are you upset about? Nothing. Are you stressed? Mm-hmm. Is it about work? Not this feeling. Like, I'm not lying to him about my feelings, but I'm trying to get the point across that I am not able to talk about my feelings at this moment. Like, I can't talk about my feelings. And so he's like, well, what's wrong? Just tell me what's wrong. What's wrong? And I'm like, Kai, please just give me a minute. Like, just give me a minute. And this was because I was really trying to force myself to respond and not react. And he was like, is it about Rachel? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, the intern that works with me, Rachel, I was waiting with her at the valet stand. I gave her a hug before she got in. Was it about her? I said, low-key, yeah. Like, I didn't know who that person was. It's not even low-key. That's exactly what it was about. Like, I didn't know who she was. And it forced me into a primal instinct of, like, who the fuck are you? You know? And, like, I understood that this was something that didn't need to happen because I was like, he has already confirmed that he cares about me. So I don't need to be freaking out right now. And so, all that being said, he had told me, he's like, you should have just, you know, asked me from get, just ask me, you know, who was that? And I would have told you, oh, that's my intern. She works with me. Totally cool. Nothing's happening. And I would have reassured you in that moment. And I said, yes, but you had already reassured me in a previous conversation. So I was trying to force myself to depend on that reassurance because I also need to teach myself to depend on the reassurance that's already been given to me and not expecting you to keep reassuring the same feelings over and over and over. And he's like, I understand that. However, it would have just been a lot faster and there wouldn't have been as much tension and we wouldn't have gotten upset with each other if you would have just asked me from get. I was like, okay, well, in the future, I'm going to do that. But I do want you to know that you were getting in my car and I was upset with you. And if you would have looked at me and asked me, is it about so-and-so at that moment, I probably would have been like, yeah, why the fuck isn't she taking you to BMW? Why isn't she the one that's handling this shit for you? Why isn't she the one that's rushing after work so she can help you with this? Why isn't she doing that? Because obviously y'all are really fucking close. And that is a reaction. That is not a response. And that's what I was trying to get across to him even, was like, a response and a reaction are two totally different things. And whenever you react rather than responding, you're showing colors that aren't even yours. It's like you know whenever you take a picture of something and the colors are just so fucking off, it's not even funny? That is my iPhone 9 fucking colors coming through whenever I throw a fit and say, why doesn't that person take you? Why doesn't she take you? You know? Because that's not how I am as a person. So I don't want to respond like that because it's not a response, a reaction. It is a reaction. I feel threatened. And so I told him, I was like, no, I was going to respond. And I did respond to you. I didn't react. And he was like, I mean, I appreciate it. However, I do think it would have just been better if you would have just told me. And I'm like, all right, cool. There's other times that this has happened. One of them was in a professional setting. And it was whenever I reacted rather than responding. And it wasn't a lack of wanting. I don't even say, this wasn't professional. Okay. I have a better one. And it was actually, I played volleyball in high school. And it was prior to me learning how to control my emotions better. Don't get me wrong, I've always been pretty good at controlling my emotions. However, I was having a hard time my senior year. Like, whenever I was in volleyball, I was not vibing. There was a moment that I vividly remember. And I was on the back row because I was serving. And mind you, I'm 6 foot tall. I do not go to the ground unless I'm doing yoga and I'm literally taking myself to the ground slowly. Like, I don't hit the ground. And I had the assistant volleyball coach, which, mind you, her and I really didn't get along in general anyways. Like, I didn't really like her. Sorry if you're listening to this, but I didn't really like her. Her and I, our personalities didn't mesh well. We just really didn't get along. And that's okay. You're not going to like everybody. Not everybody's going to like you. However, I didn't dive for a ball. And if you played volleyball any, you know that you're supposed to literally, like, waller on the ground for this freaking volleyball to make sure it doesn't hit the ground. Well, me being on the back row, being 6 foot tall, I'm not gonna fucking bloody my nose for a ball. I'm sorry, take the point. Like, it's cool, I'll come back, I'll hit you up with another 5 serves, and I'll get you with another 15 points and a hit, and it's solid. Like, it's really not that deep, you know? I'll let you have that one. I hope you enjoy it. And in turn, I got off the court. My coach, or my assistant coach, looks at me and she goes, Josephine, that was terrible. I want you to dive for that ball. I mean, legs flailing, dive for that ball. Now, this was also before I was diagnosed with hypoglycemia, and I won't blame it on my medical condition. However, I do think it was a factor because whenever your sugar gets low, you become a terrible human. And my sugar was definitely low. I did not feel well. And so she told me, she's like, I want to see you dive on the ground. Those legs flail while you go for that ball. And I looked at her, because I did, like, go for the ball, but I just looked at her and I said, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. And I went down to the end of the bench and I sat my happy ass down. And my head coach came over. She sat next to me. She goes, I don't know what that was all about. I like you as a player. You play hard. You play well. You're one of the best ones we have. Probably are the best one we have. That being said, get your shit together, quit with the attitude, or you're off the court. I said, take me off if you want. So that right there shows that I was not feeling well. And they were just pissed at me. Oh my God, they were mad at me. And I can't say they shouldn't be because I was being a bitch. But I was so mad because I was like, how dare you tell me that I'm not playing hard enough? No, shut up. So I was mad. And all this happens, and I am ready to fucking fight. And looking back on it, that was a reaction. It wasn't a response. I said it as if it was a response, but it was not a response. I was upset. I was angry. I was already upset with myself. Like, whenever I got off the court and I was the one that we missed, like, I'm the reason we missed the point, I was usually upset with myself, too. So, like, you coming up and telling me that I'm the reason we missed the point isn't gonna fix anything. It's just gonna bother me. And so, I'm already really hard on myself. And so, she had told me that. I got all pissed, all hot and bothered. I reacted. And in this moment, truthfully, I didn't give a shit that I had reacted. And in relationships, I had noticed that I was reacting, not responding. And it's really weird. Like, realization of shit like that, whenever you realize you have formed a very toxic trait due to previous relationships or friendships or whatever, like, you have formed that toxic habit for a reason. Typically, out of a survival mode. Some people are just toxic, yes. But typically, it's from, like, some sort of survival mode that your body and mind were forced to be in. And so now, you're always reacting and responding that way. And I think that this was a similar thing. I feel like that's... Sorry. I was in the middle of trying to cut a nail. I think that whenever you realize that, oh shit, I'm reacting this way or I'm doing this because of this reason, like you start to figure out why you're responding to things a certain way. You start to figure out why you're acting the way you are, thinking the way you are. Like it all starts to make sense as you grow and become older and become more self-aware. And in this particular instance there was a particular instance. Oh, I had a friend that has been going through a lot, and she was sitting there talking to me about her experience with someone else. And it sounded very, very familiar, but it sounded familiar as I was on the other side. I was the person that she was having problems with. And I was like, damn, this is how Kai felt in our relationship all the time. Like, I did that to him consistently. And it's not that I was doing anything to him. It was just my insecurities were poking out so unfairly. And it was really, like, putting a damper in his do-si-do daily. And I didn't even realize it. And it's not even that it was, like, causing detrimental harm to his day-to-day activities. But I remember going to him and I was like, hey, like, my best friend. And this was all happening with my best friend, Sarah, and I went up to him and I was like, my best friend has been talking to me about some issues that she's having with one of her other friends, and I am sitting on the other side of it, seeing it from the other person's perspective, and low-key, I just wanted to come up to you, hat in hand, and say, I'm sorry. He's like, for what? So then I start explaining what had been happening with, you know, like, Sarah and her friend, and all that kind of stuff. I started explaining it. And I was like, you know, I apologize because I see that that's what I used to expect from you. And that's unfair of me to expect that from any human. And especially not someone that I consider myself partners with. And I was almost expecting you to be a therapist for me. And he was like, yeah, it was tough. Like, that was definitely a kicker in our relationship. And it continued to be a kicker. He's like, I'm happy to see that you've, like, grown to realize that that's not healthy. And I'm like, yeah, it took me a minute, and I do feel like this hit at the right time, but yeah, damn, I'm really sorry about that. He's like, nah, it's cool. He's like, we're not all perfect. It happens, but I'm happy you've grown. And him and I went 3 weeks without talking to each other, mind you. Like, literally zero contact for 3 weeks. He went to Paris. I left him alone. And I didn't talk to him. I didn't watch any of his stuff. I didn't try to reach out because I knew all it would do was upset me. So, all that being said, I learned a lot about myself and my behaviors, my attachment style. Like I talked in my last podcast about anxious attachment styles. I was attached to Kai Neal anytime anything would get really fucking crazy. And even whenever he came back, that was the first person I wanted to talk to about all the chaos in my life. I thought to bring that chaos to him. And that was so unfair. And when I didn't realize this until Sarah was talking to me about one of her friends. And she was just like, you know, they just bring this energy into my life and expect me to just absorb it. And it's completely unfair to me. And I was like, damn, I do that. I did that to Kai. That's the only person I really do it with is Kai. That's so unfair of me to take my chaos to him and be like, this energy, I know you're having a good vibe and you're having a great day. I'm having a fucking terrible day and this is what you need to know about it. Like there's this guy and I can't remember his name for the life of me right now, but he's like a motivational speaker and he's like, you can't, the acts of love are so small. And one of them is so much so, like, somebody's coming in and talking about their terrible day, and you don't talk about your amazing day, because that's going to make them feel shitty and making you feel shitty. And he's like, but you also know that an act of love is whenever you're having a really shitty day and somebody had a great day, you're not going to go and tell them about your really shitty day, because it'll pull down their vibe and their energy, and truthfully, you're being lifted up by their energy at that moment. He's like, there are small acts of love that can be done every day, but we forget that because they're so small. And so, like, the more I thought about this, I was like, I have a tendency to bring that sort of chaos into his life specifically. Because I would call him anytime a fucking pin dropped, and I'd be like, Kai, fix it. And that was completely unfair of me. And that's one of the things that I explained to him in the whole, like, realization I had. I was like, that was unfair of me, and I apologize as, like, that was, like, I'm telling you completely unfair of me. And he's like, yeah, it was, and, like, I'm really happy you've noticed that. Like, I do think that will help us a lot, and the fact that you've, you know, understood that this was unfair to me because, and I told him, I was like, there was a moment today alone where I was straight up like, damn, I want to call Kai because of my anxious attachment style. I want to call Kai. I want to tell him what's happened. I just want to call Kai. Would that have helped me any? No. Would it have fucked up the energy that Kai had in his day? Yes. Would fucking up Kai's energy help me any? No. Would it solve my problem? Not a damn bit. So why the fuck would I do that to somebody? Like, at this point, that's how I literally will talk myself through that process. Because I'm having to literally train myself to not call somebody anytime anything bad happens. Anytime anything bad or good happens. I mean, I do the same thing whenever good things happen. It's just like extreme emotions. It's almost like I can't deal with them myself. It's like I'm literally sitting here talking and being like, yeah, this great thing just happened at work today and I want to tell you. And it's part of it is my words of affirmation, like I want somebody to tell me that they're proud of me. However, there's also a part of it that's just like I am feeling so many emotions that I just need to get them all out, and I just want to explain to somebody how excited I am. And it's, again, unfair of me to shove all of these emotions that nobody asked for. Nobody asked for me to call them every time something good happens in my life. Not a single fucking person asked for that. They also didn't ask for me to call them every time something shitty happens in my life. They didn't ask for that. They didn't ask for me to call them whenever a thing feels like it's just falling over and it feels very chaotic. They didn't ask for me to call them and tell them, you know, every single detail about my day. Or, you know, like, call them whenever they're in the middle of something. Or call them in the middle of the day. Or whenever they say they're busy that day and I still call them. They didn't ask for that. They didn't ask for me to come in and ruin their vibe. And it's not even ruin their vibe. They didn't ask for me to come in and disrupt what they had created. And being someone who has been more focused on my own peace lately, this really hit home. Because I was like, I don't ask for anybody to come in and fuck with my peace. I protect my peace. Other people are protecting their peace. But if they care about me, they're going to disrupt their peace for me. And they do. Daily. Just like I disrupt my peace for people daily. However, We have learned, me, my friends, my relationships, we have all learned that protecting our peace is more important than protecting anything else. Because we have to protect ourselves first. We are the last, like, we have to survive on ourselves at the end of the day. So me not calling Kai at the drop of a hat protects his peace. Like, in a sense, it makes it where other people's peace is my problem. It's not problem in a bad sense. It's just like, you know, if somebody says, nah, man, actually, I'm gonna stay in tonight. I'm really tired. Okay, cool. I hope you sleep really well. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Or, you know, there's been many occasions. The past couple of weeks have been absolutely chaotic. Kai will tell me, hey, I'm really busy tomorrow, or I'm really busy this week. I don't know how much we'll be able to talk or hang out. But I will definitely, like, text you when I have the chance, and I'll call you whenever I get home from work or whatever. Okay, cool. No worries. There was one, I think it was Monday. He told me, he's like, I'll call you when I get home from work, but tomorrow is going to be crazy busy. I was like, cool. No worries. Totally fine. It was Tuesday. And I text him and I told him the news about the deal that I had kind of falling through. And he texted me back literally almost immediately and was like, damn, like, is everything okay? Do you need anything from me? I'm like, nah, I got it. I'm gonna figure it out. And he's like, okay, cool. And then he told me he was gonna work out, and he's like, I'll call you when I make it home. Solid. We love communication. And I feel like it's just a lot of learning other people, you know, like learning to react versus responding is learning yourself. Learning how to react, you learn how to react to specific people. You learn how to respond to different people. Because how I respond to my boss, and how I respond to how I used to respond to my coach, and how I respond to, you know, Kai, are three completely different responses. As they should be. It's three completely different relationships. But I can't respond the same way. I can't react at all. Like, you honestly, reaction is just terrible. I avoid reacting to anything now. Like, you say something funny and it's going to take me 3 seconds now to even decide if I really want to laugh at it. Like, I'm telling you, I don't react to anything anymore. Because I'm not going to lie about my reaction. Two, does it deserve a reaction? Does it deserve energy? Does it at all? And if it doesn't, then we're going to leave it. Even if it's a bad joke, we're going to be like, haha, and move on. I do think that this whole thought process has made me turn a little cold, though. And I only say that because I feel like I've become less sensitive whenever thinking in this way. Because it's forced me to really think through every part of the feeling. So if somebody tells me, nah, I don't want to hang out tonight, my first thought is to, like, low-key, I'm a sensitive human. I want to fucking cry. Like, perfect example, truthfully. Last night, I was at Kai's house. He said, I kind of want to sleep in my own bed tonight by myself. I said, okay, cool. Was I a pouty princess for a minute? Yes. All the way, 1,000% fucking yes. Because I didn't want to sleep by myself. But Kai had expressed his feelings of saying he wanted to sleep by himself, and it would be completely unfair of me to throw a temper tantrum and be a pouty princess whenever he expressed his feelings correctly and well to where I felt safe in, you know, going ahead and going home. And I'm like, you know what? That's okay, because I wanted to do some stuff down at my house tomorrow, and I really don't want to fight the traffic to get back to my apartment in the morning. I also don't want to have to, like, log in my car and all that kind of stuff that I have to do while at his apartment, whenever I need to be down in my place by, like, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Who the fuck wants to wake up at 8 a.m.? Ow! You know whenever you put your hand in the light with shellac and it kind of really burns? That just happened to me. My hair really bad. But anyways, nobody wants to get up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday and be running around in circles and feel like they're in a rush at 8 a.m. on a Saturday at 21 years old. Nah, man, I want to sleep in, I want to enjoy myself, I want to vibe out, and I'll get up when I'm ready. And that's exactly what I did. I got up at like 8:45. Like, don't get me wrong, I woke up at 6 a.m. and spent 2.5 hours on my phone. But I got up at 8:45, I did my skincare routine. I laid in my bed for another few minutes. I got up, I got dressed, I walked down to fit them. I purchased from a couple small businesses to show my love. And then I came back home. I did some yoga. And I fucking laid down another minute, talked to my family, cleaned my apartment, did some laundry. Like, that's something that I probably wouldn't have done if I would have slept at his house last night. Because I would have rushed over here, I would have thrown on an outfit, I would have ran down to fit him, probably like 11 o'clock. I would have came back here, I would have felt behind. I wouldn't have gotten to do everything I wanted to do today. And it's not even that I wanted to do half of this. Honestly, half of it wasn't planned. And the other half was, I had planned to work on Bridal Bell all day. I had planned to be by the pool tanning all day. Well, now I've just pushed that to tomorrow because Sunday's a great day to tan. Everybody's usually hungover. I can tan by the pool. I can work on Bridal Bell and everything will be a-fucking okay. So, I end with this. Learning to respond versus react is a difficult little road to hoe. I'm not even gonna lie. But I will say it is very, very beneficial for your relationships with other humans because you learn when to speak up or how to speak up. It's not even when. Because you know you need to speak up about certain, like, issues are needed to be talked about. However, there's a way to approach them. And there was some, it was a video that I was watching, it was a podcast, and they were sitting there talking and they're like, it was specifically geared towards men, but they were like, a man can calm down a woman with their approach alone. If you come at another woman and you're screaming at her, you're sitting on her level. She gonna scream right back at you because you're not approaching her in a calm manner like a man does, typically. Like, truthfully, any time that I have been in a conflict with a man, I have noticed that they approach me very calmly because they understand that women think emotionally, men think more logically. And so they approach me with a calm voice and a calm head, and they're just like, so this is what I wanted to talk about, and this is how I think we should solve it, and yada yada, blah blah. And you know what that makes me? A happy camper, because I'm not sitting here having to scream at you in a fucking CVS parking lot. Because who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. And I do think that responding versus reacting is a very important skill that I've learned in the past few weeks. I shouldn't even say, like, months, because it's only been a few weeks that I've really learned this skill. And it has already paid off in so many ways. My relationships with my friends, my family, with Kai have never been stronger. And the fact of communication. Communication is what causes the most issues in relationships. Like, literally, that's why we're in half the wars that we're in a majority of the time. It's because somebody didn't fucking talk to the other person like they're supposed to. It's a common mutual ground, mutual respect, and understanding that you need to talk to people in a certain way. And that you can't just lose your mind all the time and expect people to take you seriously. All that being said, I want to end with the fact that I do think this is a very, very important skill to have. And I hope if you take nothing else from this podcast, you take that. And understanding that this skill is so freaking important. So helpful in learning how to respond to people instead of throwing a bitch fit. Because I tell you, I will throw the best bitch fit you have ever seen. But I would love to hear about how you choose to respond over reacting, or if you found a different sort of process that you go through that you deem more helpful. Is there something that you're like, actually, I do this and I find it really, really helpful for me? I'll be like, damn, cool, let me try that. I have found that I take 10 seconds, I breathe, I decide if this deserves a reaction. Does this feeling I'm feeling deserve a reaction? Or is this an insecurity popping up? And truthfully, it doesn't deserve a reaction because it's an insecurity. Insecurities can only be solved by suffocation. You can't fix an insecurity by feeding it the oxygen that it craves, which is your brain, which is overthinking, which is panic, which is chaos. You can't allow your brain to do that. The moment you allow your brain to do that and give it the oxygen that it needs to overthink all of your insecurities is the moment you've lost that fucking battle. So, anyways, I guess to officially end the podcast, suffocate the insecurities, learn to respond rather than react, and live your best life, baby doll. I will see you next week because by golly, I'm gonna get better about this. I'm gonna set reminders on my calendars. I will get better about this. But I will see you next week. I hope you have a beautiful day, night, week, whatever it may be. And I will see you next time. Much love. Mwah!